depression. I often wanted to kill myself. I believed that dying is the end. What I was going through was too painful. Many times it was up to the point that I felt it was unbearable and that I would rather die. Let's just end this life. Is this a wrong view, Longpo? What is life after a suicide? Thank you very much, Longpo.
So this is dukkha vedana, a painful feeling that has appeared within the heart. And so there's an illness there. You see that the body is a nest of illness. And when we experience pain in the body, this can be very difficult, torturous. And it's also, this painful feeling is also to do with the chemicals in the brain. And if they get out of balance, then these problems can arise. And so perhaps we feel upset about one thing. Maybe there's something that's happened in the past and we're not able to forget that. It just keeps coming up. Or perhaps we feel out of hope. We can feel that way very strongly. It can increase and increase. That this feeling comes up and the mind just goes following that feeling. And so as that grows and grows, and then this can develop into an illness. So you need to be cautious here, because as that carries on happening, then we can be devoid of happiness, and then we don't want to stay in this world anymore. And thoughts can come up of wanting to destroy this body and thinking that that will be a cause of ease. But this kind of thinking is not correct. This is wrong view. Because the suffering is in the heart. It's not in the body. So when this suffering is in the heart, then we should try to fix it there first. So you need to patiently endure and get past the situation that you're in. And perhaps you have a friend who can listen to what you're going through, and you can tell them about that and feel like you're relieving these feelings with them. Or you can see a doctor who can help to give some medication that can bring the chemicals in the brain more into balance. And find some activities which you feel joyful in doing. Also try not to stay by yourself, because if you do that, then you'll think in ways that bring this emotion up. So with these thoughts, you need to be very careful around them, because after death, it's the body that breaks apart and passes away, but the suffering is in the heart. And so when the body dies, if there are thoughts like this, the mind will be in a very dark state. And if it's in a dark state, then it will go to a place of suffering. And stay there, following that suffering, until it's able to get out of that. But it can take a very long time for the results of one's deeds to be finished with. So therefore, you need to try to find a way out now to fix the situation. And it's not the case that when one dies, that the suffering just disappears. That that's not how it is, because we still have a mind. And so when the mind is thinking in ways that bring up suffering like this, it can be very difficult for us. And so there's one story that I have to tell of was someone who had a great amount of suffering and decided to jump into a river. And so this person died, and then after having died, met with a spirit that had also died there. But the spirit had more power than the person who had just killed themselves, and so was able to hold control over that person, or that recently deceased spirit, and took it to be its servant. And there was a great amount of suffering in that state, until this recently deceased spirit could find a gap to find a bit of freedom and enter into the dream of a monk, and told him about this story and how the spirit is stuck there. And so this monk did a ceremony which allowed the spirit to be freed from that situation. So therefore, we need to really put up a good fight to get past this situation. And so to be trying to build a good karma, to listen to the Dhamma, and maybe within those Dhamma teachings, there are teachings about how thoughts like this are harmful thoughts. Because if we just think in this way, then the mind can get sunk into those thoughts. So we should try to find means to stop the mind from doing that, to be cultivating generosity, virtue, and meditation. But by meditation, this doesn't mean practicing really strictly. It means it's having mindfulness. Because if there's an illness already, then you should practice in a way that's very light and at ease, that doesn't give rise to stress.
Should you not talk about loved ones who have died as they no longer remain as they were, and the past is no longer?
So you should have wisdom about this. And so with regards to separation from one another, separation from what is loved and liked, that you can contemplate with wisdom that this is the nature of sankhara, conditioned phenomena, to be inconstant in this way. And so to know that there is this separation, and that we ourselves need to be separated from those that we loved, just like this person has been. So we take that into ourselves, and to see how this is inconstant, it's not sure, and peace arises within the heart. And so this is a way of taking the mind into that contemplation, or along that theme, in a correct way. So you can think how all of the arahants who have entered into nibbana, passed away already, that their sankharas, their bodies, have fallen apart already. But then we contemplate that in a way that we see how their defilements have been gotten rid of, but this conditioned body that they had is not a permanent thing as well. So if we contemplate like this, and this is an appropriate form of contemplation, and this is right view as well. But if we contemplate and think about, speak about those who have passed away in a way that brings up sadness, then this is not good. And so, like, if we spread metta to those who have passed away and we feel sad, and there's suffering that arises within our hearts, and this is incorrect. So we need to take the observation of our own hearts as the mainstay, that is the principle for our practice. So if we think about someone, something, and this brings up joy in the heart, then that's good. If we talk about someone and there's sadness that comes up, then that's not good. And it's because the heart is still kind of tied to those people. So Venerable Ananda, he was a Sotapanna already, but he had the Bharami to the level of an Arahant. And when the Buddha passed away and they had cremated his body already, he returned to Jetavana Monastery. And upon seeing the Buddha's hut and seeing his requisites, he felt a lot of grief and sadness. And it's because he had such great love for the Buddha that there was no love greater than what he had. But he went to develop his meditation at Rajagiha, and in the end, he became an Arahant. So we see that he had developed himself to such a degree, but even so, when he thought about the perfectly self-awakened Buddha, that there was sadness that appeared. So therefore, we should be cautious around speaking about people we love who have passed away, if that's bringing sadness up.
Next question. Is it possible for a practitioner to develop too much of an aversion to pleasure and too much of an attachment to suffering during the course of the practice of letting go?
So Lompo Anan answered by saying that when we let go of both happiness and of suffering. And so this happiness, if we receive that already and we attach to that a lot, then this also becomes the cause for suffering to arise. Or if we receive something that we really like, but we cling to that, then when that thing disappears or breaks, then suffering will appear. And so this happiness, it's not a peaceful happiness, but rather the cause for suffering to arise. So what letting go is, it's a knowing in time of the happiness that arises, that this is something which is unstable and unsure. And the happiness that arises, this too is unstable and unsure. So we need to have wisdom on both sides. So people like happiness and don't like suffering. So there's no need to worry that when we've let go already, then we will like suffering and hate happiness. That that's not actual letting go. And this is a wrong view. So when we let go of both happiness and suffering. And Ajahn Chah, he phrased it in an easy way when he said that happiness is like the tail of a snake. And if we don't let go of that snake, then it will come around and bite us, which is suffering.
If killing a living being is bad, then why is it okay to have others kill for consumption? Chicken, fish, pork, etc. Thank you.
So the act of killing a being that has life, that this is bad karma. And so the act of killing that being oneself, or telling others to kill that being, or if we find pleasure, joy in that killing, then we have a part in that act as well. And so this is papa. This is bad karma or unskillfulness, unwholesomeness arising. So if we do that act ourselves or we support others to do it, then that is incorrect. But if they do that act, and we don't support them. So like, for example, we go into a market, supermarket, we're keeping the five precepts, and we buy some meat, then that's not wrong, and that's not bad karma. And so the question can then arise, well, if no one buys it, then no one's going to kill. But that's thinking about this too much. Because in this world, the amount of people who sincerely keep the five precepts is very small. And so this is something that they do already. And there are very few people who really don't kill, who keep these five precepts. So therefore, we shouldn't worry about this or think about this too much. And sometimes the case that people who eat vegetarian food and those who eat meat, they can argue with one another. Ajahn Chah said that we should contemplate that the food that we eat, it's just composed of natural elements. And so this food, so like chicken or pork or fish, this is just natural elements. And that we're not supporting anyone to kill that animal. So someone had asked this question to Ajahn Chah as well. And they said to him, you teach for people to not take the life of any being, but you eat the flesh of animals. And so he said, well, okay, in that case, I'll just eat rice and chili paste then. And if that's all people put in my bowl, that's all I'm going to eat. And so he told the people this. But when he went out on alms rounds, that people didn't follow his instruction, that they still gave him different kinds of food. And he said that if all he received was rice, then that's all that he would eat. So it depends on our intention. And at the time of the Buddha, there was the case of, there was a wife who was a Sotapanna, and she was married to a hunter. And she would help to prepare the bow and arrows and various weapons for her husband, for him to go off hunting. And she did her duty very well and supported or helped her husband out because that was her duty to do that. And the Buddha said that she was a Sotapanna, a Sri Mantra. So people doubted about that and so went to ask the Buddha himself. And then he in turn asked this wife. And she said that she doesn't find pleasure in that, but it's just her duty to be doing this. And so that's what she did. So this is just an example. So therefore, for us, if we don't find pleasure in that killing and we don't support it, we don't ask for someone to kill, then we're still keeping our precepts.